This is Twit.
Let us talk about the Pixel slate. They announced this, I think, when they announced the Pixel 3, and they finally came out with it just a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
You had to rush to get this one.
I was a little behind the ball on this. If I remember correctly, I was out of town when the announcement happened. And then when I arrived back and heard that these were actually, you could actually, you know, place these in your cart. When I went there, the i5 version, which is the one that I think we were going to get.
The high-end version.
Yeah, or the lower version of the high-end, the intro of i5 at like $1,000, was already out of stock.
And that's why it's sold out, but it's a lot, $1,000.
$1,000.
So this is a step down. This is the M3. The old Atom processor rebranded M3.
Yes, so this is the M3. Let's see here. I believe this one has 8 gigs of RAM.
That's good.
64 gigs of storage.
That's plenty.
I feel like that's plenty for me.
Have you felt it slow?
No, I would say the only time that I feel things kind of slow down a little bit is when I have like a decent amount of Chrome tabs open, and then I open an Android app of some sort. If I start jumping into the Android apps on here, that's when things start to kind of fall apart a little bit for me. But I don't really do that in Chrome OS. I appreciate that Chrome OS does that and enables you to run Android apps. I just don't ever feel like it's the perfect experience
the Pixelbook, when I have a lot of RAM, more processor power, I only use Android apps to fill gaps, like Snapseed. So a few things that Chrome doesn't do well. I try to stay away from Android apps. They just really don't do well on Chrome OS. They're running an emulation. It's not a real, you know, Android platform.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, it's nice to know that they do that, like, that you can if you need to.
Yeah.
Like this, for instance, this is the Twitter app running in an Android app on the tablet.
That's the other problem.
And I'm sorry.
Nobody designs their apps for the form factor, right?
Yeah, it's just a little too large. Yeah. You know what I mean? And so, you know, because it's meant to be run like a phone, like that.
Yeah, but when at least you can expand it.
Yes,
I've also
exactly.
run into a lot of apps, Android apps, that look just like that on the screen.
Yeah, so you can do a little bit of that with this here, and great, I guess it's nice that you can, but I feel like it's never ideal. But there are ways to fill the gaps. If it's something that you don't have a Chrome app for, great, you can get the Android app and do it. I would just use the Twitter site, of course.
Now, this is a really nice-looking screen.
The display is awesome. I would say it's one of the key features here. It's super sharp display, 12.3 inches, 3,000 by 2,000.
Really high. That's the resolution of my Surface Studio, which is a 30-inch display. I mean, that is almost 300 pixels per inch. That's really good.
And of course, it's touch enabled.
Okay.
This is running the latest Chrome OS 7.1, so it's got kind of more of a touch interface to it.
Is it? Do you ever see any hesitation in the touch? Is it always pretty responsive?
Sometimes navigating through like apps and pulling up the tray, you see
smoothly.
A little judder. You know, things will kind of snap into place a little bit. But overall, I mean, I would say it's perfectly usable, perfectly doable as far as that's concerned. You know, they made these changes with Chrome OS, and I'm happy that they did. It brings it closer to something that can kind of operate on its own. If I pop this out of the keyboard,
I mean, this is a tablet. First and foremost.
There we go. So we're in tablet mode.
In fact, if you want this keyboard, you have to pay extra.
That's right. This is $799 for the tablet itself. The keyboard, which I'll talk about in a second, is an additional $200.
So now we are at $1,000.
Now you are at $1,000. But as you can see here, this is Chrome OS running in tablet mode. And, you know, I think my thinking around this has really shifted a little bit. You should definitely check out this week's Twig, This Week in Google. Kevin Toefel was on, and we talked a little bit about the Pixel slate, and he helped to kind of change my mind around it. I really wanted to bag on this because multitasking and being productive in tablet mode wasn't ideal for me.
Yeah.
And he just basically had the reminder of, hey, you're using it wrong. Like, this is better for like the lean back experience. This is for when you have a movie and you want to sit down, and you want to watch the movie, or you want to play a game or whatever. Being productive in tablet mode, not ideal. And I would say that I would hope that someday it would be okay to do that. But, you know, multi-screen, putting things on both sides and then hopping between them, that's when I would feel things.
You can do that, though.
You can do it, but things would just fall apart. Like, I'd tap into a cell, and it wouldn't register. It would still tap on this side. So then I'd have to tap into the cell again.
Yeah.
And just things would be missed along the way. I would hope that they would fix that over time.
So there's two different directions this competes with. On the high end, with a Surface tablet and the ilk from Microsoft. They're running Windows 10, a real desktop operating system.
Right.
And on the low end, the iPad and the iPad Pro. I'm a real fan of the iPad Pro. Have you? I don't even know if you use an iPad.
I haven't used an iPad Pro, but I will say I'm happy you mentioned that because we're nearing the beginning of the year where Megan and I usually do our switch.
Oh, the swap is coming.
And this time we're going to do that. We're going to do the iPad Pro.
She'll have the 12.9-inch.
Yep, she'll have this slate. And so we'll switch and kind of see what we come up with. As far as the hardware, it's got USB-C ports on both sides.
That's
so
nice.
So that's really nice. They can be charging.
Or unlike the iPad, you can use them for storage, right? External storage.
Absolutely. Yeah. You can, it makes it way more flexible, and I love having the charge on either side depending on what you happen to be doing.
I do like that. Yeah.
You've got the dual front-facing stereo speakers.
That's why the bezels are big, because they had to put room for the speakers on the sides.
I mean, the bezels are reasonably big. They're nice and rounded, though. I forgive the bezels. I forgive them on a tablet because you need a little bit of overlap for holding onto the device, I feel like. But then, of course, you snap it right in. It switches right over to desktop mode.
Special Pogo pin on the bottom, a smart connector.
Yes.
So that powers the keyboard. The keyboard doesn't have to be independently charged or even Bluetooth, right?
Yeah, so yes, exactly. It snaps it right into gear. I didn't really encounter any issues where I snapped it in and didn't get what I wanted out of it. Actually, right before the show today, it happened.
You did?
Yeah, it happened. That was the first time that it's happened.
It's because I touched it.
Yeah, you were close. Your magnetic field. So I'll snap it in, and then this snaps into the $200 keyboard attachment. You can see back here,
there's magnets.
This flap. Magnets all up and down.
Just like the iPad, yeah.
So I can go like that.
Oh.
I can move this any way I want. So if I want it deeper or if I want it steeper.
So you can have any angle at all.
Any angle.
And that's really nice. That is a nice feature. I wish Apple's keyboard did that. That's nice.
Really nice. It moves pretty smoothly on the back. I would say the one complaint that I have about this, and I think it's just this kind of device or this kind of keyboard in particular, is that it extends so far out that even though this is a laptop, it's kind of hard to have it on your lap unless you have really long legs. I'm 6'8". It fits on my legs. It won't fit on everybody's legs.
Unlike, it is a folio, so it covers the whole thing. But unlike Apple's, it has a trackpad. Now, some people say, well, great, you need a trackpad. But because the iPad doesn't use a trackpad, that does shorten the length of this keyboard, right?
That makes
to cover it up.
But. Yeah, totally. You still want to be able to cover up. The entirety of the device.
That's a nice looking when it's all put together. It's got a nice soft touch.
It is. I would say the magnet on the bottom isn't very strong. So if it falls, it's not really sticking to the bottom. The other magnet's a little bit stronger. But I guess you've got the weight of the keyboard.
How is that keyboard? It's got the round keys. It's a little odd looking.
I actually really like the keyboard a lot. And it's hard to see here, of course, because we've got all the studio lights. They're backlit keys.
Oh, I like that.
So you can work in darkness. And honestly, I would say initially I wasn't a huge fan of this, but I've used it now for a week and a half, almost 2 weeks. I've really grown to like it. Like, this is basically what I've been using for the past 2 weeks here at Twit. And
really?
I've gotten really, really comfortable with it.
So the real question, you also have a Pixelbook.
I do have a Pixelbook. Yes.
Google still sells the Pixelbook.
Yeah.
That's a two-in-one. So
I mean, the prices are pretty similar, depending on the...
So that's the question.
That is a big question. I mean, I know for myself, I'm probably going to continue using this.
Really?
Yes, because I want to be at the forefront. I always want to be where Google is as far as the direction that they're going. I didn't find myself with this keyboard and the layout of the device itself any less productive here than I was on a Pixelbook. I do, though, have less of a use for a tablet functionality.
Right. Well, that's the main differentiator.
And that is the big differentiator.
Although I like the fingerprint reader. I wish the Pixelbook had a fingerprint reader.
Fingerprint reader is really nice.
That's a real problem with Chrome OS, is if you don't have an Android device to unlock it, you've got to enter your Google password.
Right.
That's annoying.
I will say about the fingerprint reader, it's really nice because when you walk up to it and you want it on,
you just put
your finger on there.
It's so much faster.
It gets you in. The downside, though, is, and this is where things kind of fall apart on a software perspective, if you want to use the fingerprint sensor on Android apps, there is no real crosstalk there. So it's really a fingerprint sensor for Chrome OS to get you inside of your device. You want to use it to authenticate for other things, you're going to run into problems.
You'll
I'm not saying that it's completely impossible, but I couldn't get it to work with a few things. There you go. Ultimately, I'm probably going to stick with this. I think you really have to ask yourself, though, Are you a laptop user, or are you going to want to kind of go into that tablet mode? Even with the Pixelbook, as it stands right now, it can fold all the way back so you have a tablet form factor. You just have the keyboard on the underside, and that might be good enough. But there is something to be said for popping this out and just having it and being able to, like, sit on an airplane and watch watch something in your lap. You know,
I always,
I mean?
You know what? I always leave the keyboard on because it's a stand. And I don't want to hold the thing the whole time. So I don't know if I really see a benefit to that either.
Totally. Yeah.
I think I'm going to keep my Pixelbook. You go ahead and use your Slate.
Okay.
At least it's out there. I have to say, you hit a telling note when you said the fingerprint reader isn't integrated into Android. That's, in a way, the problem with the whole ecosystem.
Exactly,
is Android is a subsystem that is not a full partner. It doesn't work quite as well. It's a little janky. It can crash. Mm-hmm. And that shows that lack of integration, I think, shows a lack of effort on Google's part. They need to work harder to make this a unified, seamless experience. It's not there yet.
Yeah, I mean, I tried with a couple of apps with the fingerprint sensor and Android apps. I'm not entirely sure whether completely broken or just in the apps that I used. However, that did prompt me to go, okay, well, what about accessing the camera from Android apps? And I went in and tested
those.
You can
do that.
And you can do that. Yeah. So there are ways. Maybe it's not fully thought out. Maybe this is one of those cases, as Google is wont to do, where 6 months from now, a lot of these kinks are going to be ironed out.
Does this... Chat room's asking, have a fan? No, it's silent.
I haven't heard a fan.
No, I think it's silent.
No,
enough.
I haven't heard a fan kick in on this thing.
It shouldn't with that processor, although maybe with an i5 it might want one. It might get pretty hot.
I should mention, before we move on, I don't have it here with me, but there is another keyboard option that you can get. It's a third-party keyboard called the Bridge G-Type. Brydge, and it's $159, so it's less than the $200 keyboard you see here, and it kind of takes it more into like the traditional,
it's like a laptop
form factor. I have heard though that the keys and the trackpad are not as good as they are here. They feel a little bit squishier, a little bit kind of like a toy.
Yeah, try before you choose.
Absolutely, but I'm going to continue using it.
All right, well, you know what we'll do in a few months? Maybe we'll get an update.
Okay.
And like, are you happy?
Yeah, totally. Right. I'm happy to do that.
And
this is
for
my
Twit
machine.
I was really on the fence. I said, man, let Jason buy it. We'll see what he thinks. I think I'm going to stick with my Pixelbook.
All right.
I think that's the way to go.
I don't think you can go wrong doing that because the Pixelbook is fantastic.
It is last year's. It is last year's hardware.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's not as what, but it's the same operating system.
But do you ever run into anything where you're like, oh, man, this is so outdated.
It's a
Chromebook. I wish I had the new one.
It's a Chromebook. Yeah. I bought the pen. I noticed you didn't buy the pen.
No.
Does it have a magnetic thing?
It does not.
Okay.
It does not have like a dock for
the
pen
another
or
problem.
Any sort of snap for it.
It just kind of sits there.
Yeah. Yeah. Floats in space.
Same pen, though it looks like exactly the same pen as on the Pixelbook. So
yes.
I'll lend you my Pixelbook pen. I never use that either.
I never use it.
Yeah. We're not artists.